Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
In peace according to the Word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have had prepared in presence of the people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and for God to your people of Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at that what he had said to him. And Simeon blessed them that said, Mary, his mother, behold, the child is appointed for to fall and rise of many in Israel for the sign that is opposed. And the sword will pierce through his own soul, your own soul also. So thoughts that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
Baruch atah Adonai, Ya Yisrael. God bless you in the name of He who is the King of the Jews and also of the Gentiles. I remember that day as if it were only a few days ago. Now these many years have passed. It's not so easy to get around as it was when I was but a young man, like this man that has read these scriptures to you this morning that tell you of my story. I am Simeon. And I am here today to tell you the story, the dedication of the Christ child, as we celebrate, as you celebrate, his birth, his coming into this world. I'll tell you that my side, my little piece of the story that took place, just so briefly mentioned in your Holy Scriptures there. You see, I, Simeon, was born and raised a Jew and raised and living in Israel, growing old at the point of this story. It's not so easy at the point to get around and to move and to go. You know, it's true what the scriptures say that we should serve God while we are young, because as you get older, you find the body doesn't do the things that you would like for it to do anymore. It's harder to get around and to do what you would want to do and what God has asked you to do. When here I am now with more than 80 winters and summers that have passed by in my life, waiting, seeking my moment, my time to be on the stage and to see the role that the Father would have me to play in this drama. I'll tell you that being an old man, you realize the wasted time that you spent as a young man, the things that should have been done and that could have been done but never were done, and the opportunities that you had as a young person to get on. But I will tell you that one thing that comes with being so advanced in age is that the lusts and the desires of the flesh are not nearly so strong as they are when you are a young man. You see, I can tell you that like King David, his friend Barzillai, when King David wanted to bless Barzillai, and he said to him, "Oh King, what could I possibly want? I am 80 years old, and if you gave me something good to eat, why, I can't taste it anymore. And if you played beautiful music for me, why, I cannot hear it anymore. And if you were to bring beautiful women to me, I can't even see them anymore. So what can I do? What can I do?" That is the way it is with age and with growing older. You know, that makes me think of what the preacher said when he said, "Serve God in the days of your youth, because the difficult days will come and the years will draw near when you have to say, I have no pleasure in life. But as an old man, God had greatly, greatly troubled me for my nation, and I spent many days and many hours in prayer for my nation and praying for my people, praying for them because I was so burdened by the crooks and the liars and the thieves. And those were just the politicians and the leaders and the religious experts in my nation. They were money grubbers. They were more rebellious than any people that had ever come along. And I saw that the young people were just rebellious and wouldn't listen to the teachings of the old, and all such problems in my nation. But I hear that things are not so different now, I understand. Oy vey, it is the way of the world. In spite of all of this, I did see some things that caused me to have great encouragement as an old man. There was a group of people that we called simply the zealots. They were very zealous for the things of God. And that encouraged me that not everyone had turned away. But yet, so many had. And I will tell you that as I had grown older, I found that I began to doubt. And I began to wonder why I had not seen the things that God had promised me. Oh, you see, when I would pray for Israel, I would remember this one time when, as a young man, when it was so easy, to get down like this and to bow myself low and to pray. And I would pray, Baruch atah Adonai ya Israel aman sitai. Oh, I better not speak in the Jewish. You do not understand that language. But I will say, blessed are thee, O Lord God of the universe. And I would pray blessings upon my people, and I would pray for my leaders, and I would pray for my rabbi, and I would pray for my city, and I would pray for my nation. One day, as I was humbled down in prayer, not leaning on a stick as I am today, but humbled down in prayer, and I began to feel warm, a fire, as it were, all over my body. And as I was there, I knew something was taking place that was out of the ordinary. Something was happening to me. And then I hear a voice from behind me. Simeon. Simeon. And I knew at once I was in the presence of something, someone divine. And I said, I am not worthy that you should come into my presence. I am not worthy, O God, for you to look upon me. And this voice behind me said, Simeon, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have come before the King of the universe, and he has told me to give you this message. You will not close your eyes in death until you have seen the Anointed One, Christ, God's Christ, the Messiah of your people. Oh, let me tell you, I experienced such joy when I heard this news as a young man. I couldn't wait. I told everyone everywhere that I went about this story of things that had happened to me, and I prayed for my people, and I prayed for them daily, expecting every day, any day now, to see the Messiah that had been told. A year passed, 5 years passed, 10 years passed. I have to admit that there were days that I doubted that I had heard the voice of God. What seems so real when it happens seems so distant after a decade, and then two, and then three. There were days I doubted, days I thought I must surely have not heard the word of God. 1,000 times maybe I wondered, why is God tarrying? Why is he waiting? Why has he not come? Why has he not moved? Why has this not happened? Huh. Oh, 1,000 times I thought, God, surely you have made a mistake. I have made a mistake. Surely this is not still the way you would have it to go. You see, we would see a young man raise up and he would say, I am the Messiah. But he wasn't. And another young man would raise up and say, I am the Messiah. But he wasn't. Our hearts despaired within us. Our hearts despaired within us. And I, chiefest among those that despaired. But one day, after 80-something years, you know, you sort of lose count. As I'm on my knees, praying, beginning the prayer that I would pray over my city every day, I said, the Lord bless and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee. Before I could finish my blessing, I felt that fire that I felt as a young man. I heard that voice again that I heard as a young man, and it said to me, Simeon, Simeon, go to the temple, Simeon. And I said, what? Now? Go, Simeon. Okay, all right, I'll go. And so with the excitement of a 20-year-old, but with the body of a septuagenarian, I began to move as quickly as I could towards the temple. And as I left my door of my dwelling, I looked out upon Jerusalem as I had for 80 years and said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face shine upon thee. I didn't know it would be my last time to bless the city in such a way, but hurrying on as I did to hear what God had in store for me, I made my way to the temple as quickly as I could. And oh, there were so many people there that day. And I began to look in the crowd, and I saw this man who looked so promising, so strong, so aged and wise. And I thought, oh, this must be God's Messiah. And I made my way to go to him. I was going to bless him. And the Spirit said to me, no, Simeon, not this man. And so I looked around the courtyard, around the portico, and I see this young man on the other side, and I began to make my way towards this young man, thinking, oh, surely this young man, full of life and promise, is the Messiah. But no, the Spirit says, this is not the Messiah. This is not my anointed. So I waited. I watched face after face after face after face. Always the Spirit saying, no, not yet. No, not yet. No, not yet. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour goes by. I'm tired. Whew. I find myself a place to sit. And begin to say, God, did I miss you again? Is this the ramblings of an old man? Did I really hear you tell me to come here today? And if I did, why am I not seeing anything that I expect to see? And just then my old friend, the high priest, began to walk by. Simeon, he says, why are you here today? Your family is not serving in the temple today. And so I said to him, Rabbi, perhaps I am here today to see the Messiah? He laughed. Oh, Simeon, we are looking every day for the Messiah. But since you are here, help out Abraham with the baby dedications. There is so many today. He is so tired. Help him. I cannot tell you how disappointed I was to hear him say, go help with the baby dedications. That's not why I'm here. But he's my rabbi. He's my priest. I agree. The younger priest began to bring some children towards me. I remember holding an Elizabeth and a Rebecca and a Hannah, a Judah and a Levi. And there were so many. Finally, I said, I cannot do any more. Give me one more child and I must go. This child. Such a beautiful young girl, just a child herself. And her husband came before me. I was tired, I was old, I was hurting. And I looked for the lamb, but there was no lamb. No, instead, Father had two turtle doves in his hand. If there's one thing I regret in my life, it is my reaction at that moment. I had not seen Messiah. I was tired. I was hurting. My hip was hurting. My knees were hurting. My feet were hurting. I was sweating. And so I must have sighed or groaned or moaned or something to let this man Joseph know that I was not happy with the sacrifice. And he said, "Forgive us, Rabbi. This is all we have. We should have brought a lamb, but we could not afford a lamb. And we did as the law prescribes, and here are two turtle doves for the dedication of our firstborn." The moment I looked at that baby in mother's arms, that voice that I heard at home said, "Simeon, I have fulfilled to you my promise. You are looking at the light of the Gentiles, at my anointed, at the Messiah, at the Christ." Oh, my knee didn't hurt anymore. My pain was gone. I took this beautiful child. Oh, can I tell you, have you ever waited for something for so long? And then in that moment, to have it revealed to you. I can't tell you how overjoyed I was to see this child standing there as I was in the temple and to be handed this beautiful baby. And so I said to the Lord, "Lord, let your servant now depart in peace because you have fulfilled your promise to me. And now I can go. Now I can leave. I have seen your salvation. I have seen what you have prepared. I have seen the light of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I began to cry and to weep. And then I remembered, oh, Mom and Dad and baby. I was so overjoyed by receiving the promise of the Father. I looked at Mom and Dad and I prayed the prayers we are prescribed to pray for the dedication of a child. And then I said to this mother, "Behold, this child is set for the rising and the falling of many in Israel. And this child will be a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce your own soul also, and many hearts will have their thoughts revealed." As quickly as the moment had come, it had passed. Joseph and Mary took the baby and turned and they left. I was done. And I turned and began to walk away. And no sooner had I left the portico where the dedications were taking place than my knees grew weak and my body grew tired and I slumped to the ground. The instant that I slumped to the ground, I felt a strong hand lifting me up. And I opened my eyes and looked into the face of an angel of God. My life was done. My life was over. But not before God had accomplished everything in me that He said that He would. Let me tell you today, as you gather here, there are three things that Father God would have you to know today before I return to my reward and before you go about your day. The first is that this baby, there's a manger over here depicting the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This baby that you will celebrate on Christmas Day, this baby is God's salvation. This child is God's salvation. Without God's salvation, man is in darkness, bound by sin and condemned to die and spend eternity in hell. This child, Jesus, will grow up and He will say to everyone that will listen, He will say, "He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed that the Son of God is here." I am telling you today that the bad news is that you are born in spiritual darkness, and the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the good news that we celebrate on Christmas is that Jesus is come and that God has given you eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord, who is the light of the world, the light of the Gentiles. Jesus Christ is the one and the only way of salvation. Jesus would say, "No man comes to the Father except by me." In other words, people from every generation have tried to find another way to heaven, another way to God, another way to peace and happiness. Some people think they will go to heaven because they've been good, because they've done good deeds, because they love other people, because they've been nice and kind and compassionate. Some think they will go to heaven because they've died with the sword in their hand, fighting for their religion. Can I tell you that Simeon ben Simon is here today to tell you, you will not go to heaven regardless of what you have done or have not done, except for how you have handled the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other name by which you must be saved than the name of Jesus, the Messiah. The second thing that I need to tell you is that Jesus is not an easy choice. I spoke to his mother and I said, Mary, this child will be the rising and the falling of many in Israel. I told her that her very own heart would be torn asunder by the sword. And indeed it was on that crucifixion day. How could any mother stand and watch her child endure what Jesus had to endure? Why, Simeon, why? Why, Heavenly Father, why? I tell you, it is because people do not want and cannot stand to think about who Jesus really is. You see, the proud are put to shame before him, and the humble are lifted up. The rich are brought low, and the poor are exalted. Jesus is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care how much money you have or how broke you are. He doesn't care whether your worldly possessions amount to a suitcase or a bag of beans. What he cares about is your eternal soul. You see, before Jesus, you are no worse than the finest human that's ever lived. And you are no better than the worst. You are all together in the sight of the Lord. He has died for you. And this is not an easy fact to admit to yourself, because we don't like to admit that we need salvation. We don't like to admit that we are rotten to the core. The scripture says that the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? We don't like to admit that. We like to think of ourselves as good people. And we like to convince other people of that as well. But the easiest thing to do is to put off the decision about who Jesus is. But I'm telling you today, you must decide. Today you must decide. He's no longer little baby in the manger. He is now King of kings and Lord of lords and the Savior of your soul. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is not an easy choice. And now I must tell you that Jesus is the great divide. You know this to be true, don't you? There is no greater divide in this entire world than Jesus Christ. Our nation, your nation, is divided over Jesus. Take Jesus out, all religions get along. Take Jesus out, there is no problem in having religion in public. Take Jesus out and no one cares if you pray in public or read a religious book or bless other people. But put the name of Jesus in that prayer. Put the name of Jesus in that book. Put the name of Jesus in what you're saying. And now everybody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. Jesus divides nations. He divides families. Why? Because he separates heaven from hell. I have a single question before I leave you this morning. A single question for you is, which side of the line do you stand upon? Jesus said there are two ways. There is a narrow way that leads to life, and there is a broad way that leads to destruction. You see, if you choose the narrow way, I will tell you that even your very own heart will rebel against you. It's hard. It's not an easy way. It is the way of repentance. It is the way of faith. It is the way of trust. in the Word of God. It is the way of life eternally. But if you choose the broad way that Jesus said, many there are that choose this way, that is the way of acceptance and ease and of plurality and of unity with the world. It is the way that's easy for you, easy to go, easy to walk, to move down that way. But I will tell you that the end of that way is death and eternal destruction. I chose the narrow way. And now, having seen the salvation of my Lord, my faith was made sight, and I passed from this life and was accepted into the presence of the Almighty God. I had seen what others had overlooked. I had heard what others refused to hear. I can tell you this. Simeon ben Simon cannot tell you what your future holds. But I can tell you this. Unless you accept this Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior, you will not enter into the joys of the Lord. You can celebrate Christmas and exchange gifts and eat too much food and party, but you better enjoy life now. Because when this life is over, you will be separated from everyone you ever cared about, into a place of utter darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And there will be no second chance. Or you can do as old Simeon ben Simon did and accept the Word of God for what it is and look upon the Christ child as your light and as your Savior and decide today that because Jesus was born, and because he lived a sinless life, and because he died upon a cross to pay the price of your sin, because his lifeblood was poured out to pay the debt that you owed, and because he rose again on the third day and lives forevermore, if you will accept this sacrifice, if you will accept this by faith, heaven awaits you. I wish you, in the words of your culture and of your time, I wish you a Merry Christmas. But above all else, I wish that you would see the light of the world, the light of the Gentiles, Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. This young man is coming. I am going. The Lord bless and keep thee. Baruch atah Adonai, Yah Israel Malek.
What an awesome message, huh? Amen. If you would bow your heads for me, please. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would love to get to know him and spend eternity with him, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just raise your hand that you want to be with him for eternity.